unfortunate rise of anti-Semitism all over the world, I thought this was a good time to maybe address it a little bit as we start the Parshios of Shibud Mitzrayim. So the Medrash Tanchuma has a very famous comment that the Luchos HaRishonos, the first Luchos that were made, were broken. They did not end up surviving. They did not end up lasting. Al Shenitnum Bupumbi, the Medrash says, because they were given with such a spectacle, it was such a ostentatious, such a great ceremony at the time of Kabbalah Satorah and the time of Maimon Har Sinai, so much fanfare. That is why Shalta Behem Ayin Hara, the first Luchos that were created, had an Ayin Hara that were put onto them, and that's why they did not end up lasting. And the second ones, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned his lesson, so to speak, if we could say such a thing, and the Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said, Ein lecha yafe min atznius. There's nothing better than giving the Luchos this time, the second time around, in a private fashion. We're going to give it just between me and you, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hatznei alecha sim elokecha. And that's why the second time he says, Psalacha, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to form the Luchos Bitzina. I want you to do it privately with no one else watching, no one else knowing. It will be something between me and you. So Rav Soloveitchik has a comment, I saw it later on, made by Rav Meir Shapiro as well. Rav Meir Shapiro was the founder of the Daf Yomi. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. So he points out very obviously the very simple question. He says, didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu know that there would be a potential danger? God knows that there's such a thing as an Ayin Hara, so why did he risk it? Why did he give the first Luchos with so much fanfare, with such a glaring spectacle, when he knew that that can be the cause of their destruction? Why didn't he just stick to the first time having it being done, Bitznius, and we would have had no reason to have a second set of Luchos, we could have stuck with the first one. So in answering this question, both Rav Soloveitchik as well as Rav Meir Shapiro a little bit before him pointed out that if you look at the Nusach of Havdalah that we all say every week on Matzoi Shabbos, so you'll notice that we talk about various separations, and there we say, number one, Hamavdim and Kodesh Lechol, God is the one who makes a separation, a distinction between that which is holy and that which is profane, Bein Or Lechoshech, between light and dark, Bein Yisrael La'amim. So Rav Meir Shapiro said that when you think about it, when you consider that a little more critically, there seems to be a very big distinction, a very big difference between those three separations. So he writes as follows, the difference between light and dark, as we know, is something that is very glaring. It's most obvious to anyone. You can be a plant, you can be an animal. You also have an understanding that now it's light outside, now it's dark outside. That doesn't need anyone to have a real deep understanding in order to see. When you have the distinction between Kodesh and Chol, that's something, says Meir Shapiro, that is much more subtle. It's something that is much more elusive in its nature. One has to have a very sensitive soul and a spirit in order to be able to appreciate the difference between the distinction that one makes between Kodesh and Chol. That's not obvious to anybody. In fact, if you look at the story of the Akedah, so Avraham Avinu Vayaras HaMakom Merachok, Rashi tells us that what it means is he sensed the feeling of Kedusha from a distance, and it's something that those who were with him did not encounter. It's something they did not experience. Only he was able to appreciate that feeling of Kedusha, HaMakom, meaning the Ribono Shel Olam, Merachok. He was able to feel it, but others around him were not able to feel it, because that's very subtle. That's something you have to have a very special spirit in order to be able to appreciate. You look in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Pasuk says that Vayikra Hashem El Moshe, God calls out to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ohel Moed Lemar, God speaks to him from the Ohel Moed. So what does it mean? The Medrash says, what do you mean he speaks to him from the Ohel Moed? Moshe Rabbeinu is there. So Moshe Rabbeinu is in his house, in his tent, and God speaks to him from the Ohel Moed. How did that work? So the Medrash says that even though Kol Hashem Shover Arazim, even though we know that God's voice is a very powerful one, even though we know that it is a very strong one, it's able to break the cedar trees, but yet Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who was able to hear it, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who was sensitive enough to be able to appreciate the voice of Hashem and to understand that his ears had to be attuned, had to be equipped to be able to appreciate that which was being said from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It's not made for everyone. So you see that the distinction, the difference between Kodesh and Chol is not so easily discernible. It's something that is very subtle. It's something that you have to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to be someone very special in order to be able to understand that. It's not the same as the difference between Or and Choshech. So Rav Meir Shapiro asked, so how do we understand this third distinction? The difference Israel, is that meant to be something that's the type of separation like the difference between Kodesh and Chol, very subtle, very elusive, that should not be so easily recognizable? Or is it something that we assume has to be like the distinction between Or and Choshech, very obvious that anybody has to be able to see it. Anybody who looks at a person should know right away if they're a Jew or a non-Jew. And this is the question that Rav Meir Shapiro was dealing with. Should we assume that the difference between Yisrael La'amim is a very subtle and subdued one, or is it something that is a very obvious and glaring one? And here Rav Meir Shapiro said, is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, why he had to present the Luchos in a most pronounced fashion, even though he knew that by having such pomp and so much circumstance, it might lead to the breaking of the Luchos. But since, on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, that was the time that Bechiras Yisrael took place, that was the time that the Jewish people were chosen as a nation, that was the time that we became God's beloved people, it had to be a Havdalah HaNikeres. It had to be a separation that I'm singling out the Jewish people, that everybody should know it's a glaring separation, it's something that should be recognizable, obvious to anyone, that the Jewish people need to live lives that are going to be different than everybody else. And even though as a result the Luchos might be broken, and even though as a result there might be an Ayin Hara, but that's not the point. God wanted to set from the outset that if you are going to be chosen as the nation that is most deeply connected and rooted in God Himself, you have to understand that the difference between you and the rest of the world is not like the difference between Kodesh and Chol, but it has to be one which is like the difference between Or and Choshech, a stark and obvious difference, something that is so overt to anybody who looks, anybody who sees, and it means that a Jew is supposed to live a life where they express to others the beauty, the elegance, the splendor of what it means to be a Torah Jew, what it means that mitzvahs are not meant to be observed in a vacuum. Rather, they're meant to inspire our day-to-day activities, and that others should be able to see. It should be obvious to anyone who sees the way we act that this is who we are and this is what we stand for. These are the principles we live by. You look in the beginning of our parsha, and one of the first stories that we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu goes outside. Vayar b'siv lo sam. He sees that his brothers are being oppressed. He sees that they're being abused. Vayar ish mitzri. And he sees that there's an Egyptian man. Make ish ivri me'achav. The pasuk says he sees that this Egyptian man is striking one of his brothers, one of the Jewish men that he considered to be one of his brothers. So every word in the Torah, as we know, is very carefully worded. So why do we need this word me'achav? It should say, Vayar ish mitzri, he goes outside and he observes as there's an Egyptian man hitting ish ivri. What do you mean me'achav from his brothers? Obviously, if you're a Jewish man, you're from my brothers, you're from my family. So what exactly does the Torah mean to indicate when it says me'achav? I once saw a very beautiful interpretation that perhaps what it's referring to is the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu goes outside, he sees an Egyptian man as having the ability to strike and to triumph over a Jewish man. How could it be, Moshe Rabbeinu says? Why would God allow that to happen? And the answer is, me'achav, because this Jewish person considered himself to be an associate, to be a friend, to be one of them, to be one of the Mitzriim. Not that it was one of Moshe Rabbeinu's brothers, that the Mitzri considered him to be one of his brothers. And that's why he was able to fight him. That is the reason why God gave him the ability to fight him off, because the Jew forgot his sense of being distinct, of being different, and that's why sometimes the Jewish people fail when we lose that sense of understanding that we're supposed to be succinct, we're supposed to be very different, we're supposed to be very separated, and it's supposed to be a very obvious separation, a glaring separation that exists between the way we lead our lives and the way the rest of the world might lead their lives. The Beis Halevi writes in this week's Parsha so beautifully. He comments on the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, where the Medrash says, L'reach shemanecha tovim, that the Jewish people are considered to be like the very sweet smell of the shemen hatov, of the ointments that one puts on their body. Ma shemen enu misarivim hamashkim. Just like we know that when you mix, when you try to transfuse oil together with water, it's not going to work. The oil is going to float to the top or might go to the bottom, depending on what it is that you're mixing it with. Af Yisrael im misarvim im b'nei Noach. You cannot mix the Jewish people with the rest of the world. It's just not going to work. It will never happen. You can never transfuse the two together. U'l'olam nishar ha'hevdel ha'makom v'kiyumo. The Jewish people will always remain to be a very different people and very, very distinct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan ha'Torah v'ha'mitzvos li'Yisrael, says the Beis Halevi. God gave the Torah and the mitzvos to the Jewish people. Why? K'dei she'yehe muvdalim im b'nei Noach. In order that we should have a natural way to separate ourselves. If we wouldn't have a way to lead our lives based on the Torah, we would say, well, what marks a distinction between everybody else and us? And the answer is, God gave us the Torah mitzvahs in order to make that line, in order to make the demarcation to show us, this is the way you lead a life of being different. This is the way you lead a life of being separate from the rest of the world. U'kamosha amar ha'kasev ha'avdil aschem min ha'amim, says the Beis Halevi, v'im Yisrael ha'yim mekarvim atzmam chalila lahem, if the Jewish people begin to forget that this is the way they're supposed to lead their lives, that this is the way God wants us to have all the experiences of life play out, then God has to intervene, and God has to make sure that He resurrects that wall that was supposed to be up in the first place between the Jewish people and the rest of the world. And how does He do that? Says the Beis Halevi, he will have the nations of the world begin to develop a sense of acrimony, of alienation from the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism, that's when it happens. It's not me saying this, it's the Beis Halevi. I would never say it, but the Beis Halevi writes, Kol zeh l'tovason shel Yisrael. When we feel that we are alienated, that we are hated, that we are being discriminated against, so often against by the Umas HaOlam, by the nations of the world, says the Beis Halevi, Kol zeh l'tovason shel Yisrael. All that is a result for our benefit. It's all there for us. Kedei she'yibad l'mahem v'lo yisarvam imayim. That we should have the reminder that this is not the way life is supposed to be. Don't get too close to them. Again, we involve ourselves in the outside world and we do business with everybody else and we do certain things, but we have to remind ourselves at the same time, says the Beis Halevi, that if we are not going to have the barriers that the Ribbono Shel Olam set up for us to be careful about the Torah mitzvahs, about our way of life, then the Ribbono Shel Olam has to intervene and create a new barrier, and that is by having the Umas HaOlam create this sense of alienation, of acrimony that they sometimes develop against the Jewish people. Again, the Beis Halevi continues in this theme, and he writes that sometimes you have generations where people look at the Jews and they say, we're disgusted by them, we're repulsed by them. Why should that be? What do we ever do wrong? Often you hear about this, you read it in history, that's what happened. You might not like a people, you might want to get rid of them, but why should you be repulsed? Why should you feel that they're disgusting? Why should you feel disenchanted by a people? What have they done that makes you have such feelings, says the Beis Halevi? All of that is with rhyme and reason. If you go to someone and you say, don't play with my child because my child is chickenpox, and everybody can catch that, so you want to keep your children away, you don't want them to get sick, says the Beis Halevi, that's exactly what happens. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam has to make it that the Umas HaOlam make us feel like we're a disgusting people. Why should that be? Why do they look at us like we're so repulsive? What have we done so wrong, says the Beis Halevi? All of that is not begether onesh, he says, that's not as a punishment. Rak begether hashmira, he says. That's just to serve as a safeguard for ourselves. Shelo yisarvu yimayim, but all of that, says the Beis Halevi, was done, was created, litovasan. That was all made for our benefit, that was all made for us to remind ourselves. That's what the Meshech Chachma writes as well. In his commentary on Chumash, he says, Achas mi pu'ulos ha-hashgacha. One of the great divine assistances that we have in the history of our people is Lekiyam Adas. How have we stuck to the faith for so many generations? How could it be, says the Meshech Chachma, that we're still here? He says, you know what the divine assistance, you know what the answer is? Asher sinas ha'umos hu gadol yoser ba'azvam hadas. Because as we drift away, as we become more and more assimilated, they begin to hate us more and more. And that reminds us, well, let's start to think about what are our principles? What do we stand for? They're singling us out and saying, all of you Jews need to live here, need to be in a ghetto, need to be ostracized. Well, now it's time for us to think about what does it mean to be a Jewish community and what are the values that we stand for? There's an unbelievable medrash on the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. Really an incredible medrash. It talks about what we start to speak about in this week's parsha, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu begins to step up on the stage of Jewish leadership. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, the psukim tell us, tries to evade all of this responsibility. He's not interested, not because he wants to shirk the responsibility to someone else, but because he's not interested in being promoted. He wants to be just like everybody else. So listen to the words of the medrash. Moshe barach min hasrara. Moshe Rabbeinu is evading by all costs. He's trying to negotiate with God that he does not want to be the one in the position of leadership for the Jewish people. B'shash amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says to him, V'ata lecha v'ashlachecha al paro. I want you to be the one to go and negotiate with paro. You're going to be my messenger, my servant. V'yomer, and he says, Bi Hashem, please God, don't do this to me. Shlach na b'yatishlach. I want you to send somebody else. And he's begging, he's pleading, he's negotiating. Loish dvar manochi, he's coming up with all kinds of excuses. He's trying to liberate himself from this responsibility. And he says, look, I don't know how to speak well. I don't know how to present myself well. I'm not interested. It's not what I want. He was a none of. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, you can negotiate with me all you want. You can fight me off. But chayecha sof chaleilech, I'm just telling you, the end of the story is going to be, you're the one. I chose you. You're the one who's most qualified. You're going to be the one to go. So let's stop this negotiating. Let's just move on with what has to be done. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu finally agrees. He gives in. He realizes he's not getting anywhere. Kivan shehalach biyamer, he goes and he does what he's supposed to do. And he says, Ko'amar Hashem Elokei Ha'ivrim. He goes to Paro and he tells him, this is what God instructed me to say. This is what God wants to happen. And Paro responds to him. He says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. Why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to God? I don't know who you guys are. Fine, Moshe Rabbeinu comes back. He says, Kfar Asisi Shtichu Secha. God, I did what he asked me to do. Now I'm retiring. That's it. Halach v'yashavlo. So he withdraws. He relinquishes his responsibility once again. He says, look, you negotiated with me. I told you I would do it. That's it. I did my job. I'm finished. God says to him, what do you mean? You think you're done? I didn't send you to go to Paro just to talk to him one conversation and come back. We got a big job for you to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu realizes he's really stuck with this, and he says that he's not getting anywhere. Bo darabero Paro. So God says to him, come back and speak to Paro. And God says to him, come to speak to him again. And Lechal Paro. Hashkim Baboka. I want to go early in the morning, late at night. Go this time, that time, this makkah, the other one. Moshe Rabbeinu is overwhelmed. He can't believe it. How did this happen to me? Lesof, after all of Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to push the responsibility onto others, after all of his grievances, after all of his objection to having an involvement to this, Hotzio mi Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who successfully takes the Jews out of Egypt. Kara lehem asayam. Hora lehem asaman. He provides them with food. Hela lehem asaber. He provides them with water. Higiz lehem asaslav. He gets them the slav. Hikifan anani akavad. He's the reason why they have anani akavad. Aslam asamishkan. What more can you ask Moshe Rabbeinu? What a great leader. He's amazing. Fine, Moshe Rabbeinu finishes all of that. Amar, mikan ve'elech ma yesh li lasos. Now can I retire? I'm done. I took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. I performed all the makas. I did everything you asked me to do. I built them the Mishkan. What more can you ask for? I got the Ananiya covered and the man and the be'er and the slav. I'm done. I'm finished. Retiring. Amar b'yashavlo. He goes into his corner. He says, I had enough. I led the Jewish people with excellence. It's enough. Amar la'akadosh baruch hu. God says to him, yesh lecha malacha gedola mikol masha asisa. Now I have a job for you to do. Now I have a responsibility for you to take upon yourself, which is greater, which is more profound, which is more important and more difficult than anything you've done up until now. Yeah, what are you going to come up with? I've already split the sea for them. I've already taken them out of Mitzrayim. I negotiated with Paro. I did all the makos. I'm giving them an ani akavet. I get them the man. I get them the bear. I build them a mishkan. What is more difficult than that, says God? L'lame l'bini tuma v'tahara. Now you have the holy and sacred task of teaching the Jewish people how to demonstrate self-control, how to explain to them what it means to live lives of Kedusha and Tahara. And that, says God, is a great undertaking. That is something that is more difficult. That's a greater mission for you than anything you've done up until now. Chayecha, he says, yesh lecha melacha gedola mikol ma'asher asisa, to teach the Jewish people what it means to live lives of being a distinct people. Heinam levadad yishkon is the most difficult task. And of all the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught that this is the most difficult of them all, and now his job is beginning. After all the miracles that he's performed, after all the leadership that he's shown, after the excellence in the way he led the Jewish people, God tells him, well, in a world where we have no moral decency, in a world where we have no boundaries anymore, it's time for you to go out and teach the Jewish people what it means to live lives of Kedusha and Tahara. And he says, Chayecha, this is a malacha gedola, this is the most difficult job that you'll ever be asked to do, because it is the most difficult job, to teach our families, to teach our children and our community what it means to live lives of Kedusha and Tahara. It's not so simple. And as we begin the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha, as we begin to read the story of what Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership meant to the future of the Jewish people and the history of the Jewish people, it's something to consider that Moshe Rabbeinu, after all of his leadership, was told that the most difficult job of a leader is l'lame l'am tuma v'tahara, to teach the Jewish people what it means to demonstrate self-control, to live lives of Kedusha and Tahara, and to always be striving to have the Jewish people living in that kind of enclave, and not to fall in for all the great, great temptation and the resistance that is necessary for us as a people in order to remain succinct, to remain on our own, and not to have to bring upon what the Beis Halevi described is the mechitzos that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to impose upon us from outside sources.